I've ministered in the great state of Louisiana, but I've never been here in New Iberia. Set a tent meeting, and it's a real privilege to be here with you folks and to share our enthusiasm and our zeal for Christ. We set up two ends of our big tent here, about 15,000 square feet under this canvas, which is about 140 by 140 round. And it comes from our big tent of about 220 by 140, which is a five-pole tent. We've had numbers of meetings under the tent, under this tent like this, and we've had some good times. So I want to say again that it is our privilege to be here with you tonight. And I'd like to read just a little bit of scripture tonight and speak to you some if you don't mind listening. You'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Just one scripture here that I'd like to read, or just a little bit, it is. In chapter 3, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, would, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore, in few words, whereby when you read, you might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." At reading right there, it says how, Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now, this might be a little bit hard to understand when I say something about the mystery. I want to be sure that I don't mislead you, so let me say this. When it comes to salvation and the plan of salvation as to redemption or to be born again, it's very simple. There's no mystery about it so far as me telling you to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no mystery to that. You can understand that and you can know exactly what I mean. So there's no mystery about it. It's very simple. God has made that very simple. And I'm thankful that God has made it very simple. Because if it had not been simple, I perhaps could never have gotten a hold of it. Because I was a very simple-minded person. And I was able to understand when they told me to repent of my sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I understood. I found the Savior. I become a Christian, a real, genuine Christian. I've genuinely been born again. A lot of times I say this, and this is a little hard to understand, but I try to say it for the benefit of the believer. Just believing, just mere believing, is not sufficient for salvation. Now, I know I'd probably get a repercussion out of that, you know, and we probably have to go round and around. You know, because you might say, "Well, Brother Pike, I'm firmly convinced that that's all it takes." Well, that's fine. If you feel that way about it, that's fine. Maybe during the revival here, we can discuss it a little bit and see just what is meant by what I'm saying. But there is a scripture where a brother in the Holy Scriptures tells us that faith alone cannot save you. He asks the question, can then faith alone save you? No. He says it cannot save you. Just mere believing cannot save you. Though you may believe, you know, it's like a person that's got a dreadful disease. That person might have persuaded themselves that they're going to be all right. Even the physician might have given something to aid them in this thing that's wrong with them. And he might have convinced them that they're going to be all right, and they might be trusting what he said. But that doesn't mean they're going to be all right. See, mere believing cannot save you. Let me prove that to you by the scriptures. If you believe, that's wonderful. You should believe. We must believe. This is what leads us to the faith. But the Bible said, if you believe, you do well. But The devil also believes. Have you ever considered that? How do you know the devil is a believer? But he isn't saved, is he? See, he isn't saved, but he is a believer. See, we can't deny that because the Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The Bible says the devils also believe, or the devil also believes. And he trembles when he thinks about the mighty power of God. So we see by that we could be a believer and be no better than the devil. While there's hundreds of thousands of people around the world that believe, we travel all over the different parts of the world. As a matter of fact, right here we have a brother sitting in the audience that come in from India. Our brother Palani, he's here tonight. He's from India. And he's been with us for a number of days. We've been into the areas where he's at. We've ministered in India. See, we've been in the foreign countries. We found many people that believe. Down in South America, I find that people believe. I go into the auditoriums or wherever I go to preach, and they believe. They listen to what I have to say, and they clap their hands and they praise God. But I say again, that doesn't mean that you are saved. See, a lot of people praise God. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise God. See, a lot of people praise God. But the thing is, does God accept their praise? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, all we have to do is just believe on the Lord and praise God. And God hears us and He hears our prayer and He accepts our praise. But then we come across another scripture. And the Bible says that praise is comely for the upright. So then who should be praising God? The upright. Whose praises does God accept? The upright. And I'm going to say something here that I'll surely get a repercussion out of. But think it over. See, and then we come to prayer. And we say there's one thing for sure, Brother Pike. No matter what you tell us. You know, this is the way our thinking goes a lot of times. That when I pray to God, God hears me. The question arises again, does God hear you? Does God hear you? Someone would say, well, I know that God hears me. Then the question arises, are you a Christian? No, someone would say. But if I pray, God will hear me. Then we ask the question again, why then does the Bible say that we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer? That God doth not hear sinners when they pray. Why does the Bible say that if God hears your prayer? See, there's a lot of things, folks, that we think we know. And we think we understand. And we're positive of this because somebody has told us. But then I say again, that's because we believe. It isn't because we have faith. It's because we believe that that is right. Because somebody has told us that. Somebody has indoctrinated us with that. See, we haven't been thorough enough to search things out. We haven't looked close enough. We haven't really gotten down into the Word of God and studied it to find out for ourselves. Now, you know, if a person was going to buy an automobile, they wouldn't just go buy the first automobile, now would they? The first one that they saw, would they buy it? Not likely. And even if a salesman was a very persuasive person, still they might not buy the automobile. Because they've got something in their mind and they're thinking toward a certain thing and they want to be convinced. And if the salesman gets too high pressured, he'll lose his customer if that person has a real good intelligence. Because they're not going to throw their money away. Folks, the question I ask is, why do we throw our lives away? Why do we listen to anybody that tells us anything? Whether on radio, whether on the TV, and we preach on all of those. Nothing wrong with it. You know, but the thing is, why do we listen to everything that they tell us? Why do we listen to everything that we hear? Why do we listen to preachers just because they are a preacher? Or they say that they are a preacher? Why do we listen to this and say, well, that's the way it is because that's the way he said it? See, the thing is, faith cometh by hearing. And the Bible said, when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, which is our own opinion. So then, faith cometh by hearing. But it says the hearing comes by the Word of God. And the preacher is the one that preaches the Word of God. And the Bible said, how can he preach, lest he be sent? He that God sendeth, how can we tell him from the others? The Bible said, he will speak God's word. You see people full of sin, full of wrong, doing the things that's unlike God, not conforming to Christ's ways. And we know that the preachers have indoctrinated them. We know that they've been indoctrinated. We know that. The preachers have preached to them. But the thing is, was he sent of God? Someone would say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, the Bible says, if these men had stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to have turned from their sins. The mere fact that the people doesn't leave sin and doesn't turn from sin under the ministry and under the preaching of the preachers positively proves that God didn't send them. And it means that they're not speaking God's word. They're not telling you God's word. See, if they'd have told you God's word, you would have turned from your sins. But you believe. And they told you that you was all right. And you believe that. But folks, faith cometh by the hearing of the word, not by what the preacher said. See, the Bible said, let every man be a liar, and the word of God be true. So then if the preacher preaches the word of God, and then you believe the word of God, then you've got faith. Then you've got salvation. Because faith is by God's word. If God's word said it, the preacher preaches it, and you believe it, and you repent and conform to it, then God will give you the Spirit of the Word, which is the Holy Spirit, or what we call the Holy Ghost in the King James Version, and God will fill you with His Spirit, and you'll find that you've got salvation. That's faith in God. Faith in the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So then it is faith in the Word, not mere believing, but faith in the Word that brings us salvation. So then when we preach the Word, and you believe in the Word, what will you do? The writer said, show me your faith without your works. You can't do that. You can't show what you believe by not doing anything. He said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. I'll conform to the Word of God. This is the proof of my faith. If a man believes in fishing, he goes fishing. If a man believes in hunting, he goes hunting. If a man believes in making money, he goes looking for it. Isn't that right? If he believes in cheating, he cheats. If he believes in lying, he lies. Isn't that right? Whatever a person, man or woman, believes in, that's what they do. That's what they practice. That's why the Bible tells us that the child is known by his doings. You don't go by his confession. You don't go by what he says, but you go by what you see him do every day of his life. Whatever he does every day of his life. If a man goes around snorting, temperamental, cursing, then you know he's of the devil. Somebody say amen. If a man goes around testifying of God, talking about the beautiful things of Christ, trying to live a holy, godly, pure, overcoming life, then you know he's of God. Because that is the nature of Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But folks, if it's just mere believing, we can believe anything. So then what does the Bible tell us about the last days? It says, and in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, getting past feeling. That is in the latter days, in the last times. They will depart from the faith. When you say from the faith, Brother Pike, what do you mean? They will depart from the faith. They will depart from the faith. When will they do this in the last days? They will depart from the faith. What do you mean, depart from the faith? You mean they won't believe anymore? I mean that they will leave the Word of God and they'll heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. They'll pick out their own preachers. They won't wait for God. Somebody say hallelujah. They won't wait for God. You know what they'll do? They'll do like they did in the days of Moses. In the days of Moses, they said, where is this Moses? We don't know where he went to. They said, do something for us. We don't know what happened to this Moses that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. And they said, Aaron, you've got to do something. So Aaron, he did. He said, all of you come together. I've got a plan. Did you know there's always somebody with a plan? Isn't that right?
said, come on with us. I've got a plan. Said, just bring me your offering. Come on, folks. Just bring me your offering. That's all I need now. Aaron said, just bring the offering. Bring all your gold and bring all your silver. And I'll show you how to have a revival. I'm depressed. Didn't know what to do. The people's about to stone him to death. Preachers get under pressure. And they say, the folks is looking. We've got to do something. We've got to do something. Somebody said, well, isn't the right thing to do is preach the word of God? Oh, they won't listen to that anymore. We've got to do something else. We've got to have some kind of entertainment. Come on, folks. Don't run off and leave me. So what are we going to do? Come on, folks. I lose my congregation a little at a time sometimes. Somebody said, all we need is some gospel rock. Just a little gospel rock. Why do we need that? So we can get to the youth. Folks, you don't have to worry about that. Somebody's done got to them with the rock. You don't have to worry about that part. You don't have to worry about that part. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Word now. I'm talking about the Word of God. If these men had stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. Why is it the world isn't turning from their sins? Why is it that in the church, sin is coming in a greater and a greater way? Folks, let me tell you, sin is a killer. Why is your little boy and little girl twisted up? Why are they with paralysis? Why are they in braces because of sin? Why is it that men are having heart attacks because of sin? Why is it that women's thighs are rotting out with cancer? Because of sin. Because of sin. You say, Brother Pike, where do you get that? In the Old Testament, when a woman went bad on her husband, the Bible said sometimes the spirit of jealousy would come over that husband. God didn't condemn the husband. God didn't put the husband down because he got jealous. Are you listening? But God brought the woman before the priest. And when they went before the priest, they were given a concoction to drink. They were given a mixture to drink. If the woman was a clean woman, she didn't have nothing to worry about, folks. But if she wasn't clean, the Bible said her thighs would rot because she was found in whoredom. Sin is the killer. Sin is the one that did it. When you find problems, when you find little children that turns out to be freaks at their birth, twisted up, their lives wrecked and ruined. Who caused it? God didn't do it. Sin done it. Someone would say, Brother Pike, don't you believe God did all of that? God has never afflicted anyone at any time. God has never done anything wrong, never at any time. The Bible said God never tempts man at any time. Neither can he be tempted of any. God is good and God is all good, not partially good. God is not against you. God is for you. But folks, when you got infiltration from that old mind of Lucifer, from that experience in the garden, and you've got that kind of experience, that infiltration in your heart and in your minds will bring condemnation. And condemnation will bring sin. It'll bring unbelief. And you'll find yourselves in the kind of condition that the devil wants you to be in. And he will rule over you. And he will poison your mind against God. And against the goodness of God. And against the love of God. And every time something happens, you'll say, God, you could change this thing if you would. But folks, God can't. If God could, God would. Someone would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? I mean that if God was good enough to make himself a human body, step inside of that human body and come down here and take nails in his hands and let the thorns be placed upon his brow and let him plow his back like a field, is there anything else that God wouldn't do for you? Folks, God loves you. Let me tell you, God loves you. You say, well, Brother Pike, why does God chasten me? Why does God do these things to me? The Bible said that a father that loves his son will chasten him. God isn't trying to hurt you. He's trying to get the devil out of you. Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, bless God, I ain't got the devil in me. Everyone that's born into this world's got the devil in them. Even a little child. The Bible said the spirit of the devil or the spirit of foolishness is bound within the heart of the child, and a rod of correction will drive it forth from him. See, God isn't trying to hurt you. Somebody said, well, I read in the Bible where Paul said, put away that old sinful flesh and that old corruptible flesh. I know he did. I know he did, and that's the thing that we ought to do. But let me tell you something. The Bible also says that the body is the Lord's. The body's only sinful. The body's only corruptible because the devil is living in it. God is wanting to hurt the body. The Bible said your bodies belong to God. Your bodies are the temple of the great Holy Spirit. God wants to walk in you. Hallelujah. I feel him right now. God wants to talk with you. Glory to God. God wants to be inside of you. And God wants to love you. And God wants to hold your hand. Praise God till you can feel like you're a mighty dynamo for God. Hallelujah. That's why Revelation 12 says that when the child was caught up to the throne, now has come power. Folks, when you get your faith right, when you get your faith in the love of God, then comes power. You can feel God cleansing, and you can feel God moving the condemnation. The Bible said faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. You know, my little boy comes up to me, and he kind of feels me out. My little girl comes up to me, she kind of feels me out. What is she doing? She wants to know whether I love her or not. I may have to chasten them, but they want to know whether I love them or not. See why? They can't believe unless they can find love. You can't believe unless you can find love, because faith works by love. And the more that I show my love to them, the more they trust in Daddy. The more they believe in Daddy. I say, honey, don't worry. Daddy won't let nothing hurt you. Daddy loves you. And that faith begins to blossom. Praise God, that faith begins to come up. They believe in Daddy. They believe in the strength of Daddy. God says, I love you, children. I love you. And the faith begins to blossom. And God says, don't let anybody put you down because I've lifted you up. God said, nobody can lay anything to the charge of his elect. You're my children. I love you. Don't you see what I did for you? He said, I have carved thee in the palms of my hands that I might not forget you. Hallelujah. I love you. See, believe on me. I love you. And that faith, it just blossoms and you just swell up with the faith of Christ. Because you believe, that love stimulates you. And that love brings that foundation. And that love brings that strength. And folks, you find yourself believing and the devil has to leave. The Bible said, taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And that shield of faith begins to rise up. And you begin to believe. The more you trust in that love, the more you learn that he loves you, the more you understand that he cares for you. See, the stronger you get. Because faith worketh by love. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So then, in the latter times, they'll depart from the faith. What is the faith that they depart from? Believing in the Word. Not departing from believing. They believe all kinds of things. There's more churches than ever. There's more religious people around the world than ever before. On my radio programs, I preach to hundreds and thousands of people. They're believers. But folks, it says they will depart from the faith. That is, they'll depart from the Word of God. They won't listen to the Word of God. That's where the problem comes in. They won't listen to the Word of God. They'll listen to heresy. Listen to ideology, but not to the Word of the living God. What we need to do is come back to God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word spoke this world into existence. And the Word created Brother Pike, and the Word created you, and the Word made the stars and the moon, and the Word made everything that there is that was made. And the Bible said all things was made by him, and without him was nothing made. They were made for his glory and for his purpose. Hallelujah. God did that. The Word. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if every person in the world tonight could get a hold of God's Word and say it don't matter what the evangelist says and it don't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what mother says or daddy says or anyone else says. God's Word is my absolute. God's Word is my foundation. And I'm going to stay with the Word of God. And I'm going to stay on the Word of God. And glory to God, I'm not going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. If God's Word says it, I'll believe it. And if God's Word don't say it, I won't have it. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. So then we're looking for the Word. Brother Pike, you come here to preach to us. What are you going to preach to us? How can I preach anything but the Word? The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's Word. Isn't that right? So then I can't speak nothing but the Word. I come here to preach to you, not to tell you who I am, not to tell you what I am, not to tell you what I think, but to tell you about God's Word. So then, what is that going to do, Brother Pike? Faith. The Bible said, and Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Now listen. Translated by faith. Somebody says, Brother Pike, I'm waiting on that great rapture. Now listen, don't run off and leave me. I'm waiting on the translation, Brother Pike. I'm waiting on the rapture. Don't run off now. Don't want to be back no more, Brother Pike. Listen, let's think it over. I'm waiting on the rapture. Are we really, really waiting on the rapture? I am. How is it that we're waiting on something that is not the Word? Somebody say amen, or just hold on till you can. Why is it that we're waiting on something that the Word doesn't say anything about? Someone would say, but Brother Pike, surely to God you believe in the rapture, if you've got any sense at all, somebody would say. But see, the Word doesn't say anything about the rapture. Are you kidding? Someone would say. No, there's no such word. There's no such teachings in the Bible. Well, now where did that come from? Not from the Word. Said he would preach the Word if God sent him to you. Are you listening? You say, well, where did that come from, Brother Pike, if it didn't come from God's Word? It came from man. Where did death come from? The Bible said death didn't come from God. Why do we blame God with our diseases? Why do we blame God with our discomforts? Why do we blame God with death? The Bible said God didn't bring death. Death is an enemy of God. Death come by man. See, we sang that song, sin is the blame. Sin is the blame for it all. That's where it came from. Where did the word rapture come from? Man. Just like when we say millennium, no such word, no such teaching. Where did that come from? You mean you don't even believe in a millennium either, Brother Pike? Now that's a man-made application. It does say 1,000 years to reign with Christ. And we know in the intellectual world that the definition of that in numerical order brings us a millennium. Because that's what 1,000 means. But really, in the Word, it didn't say that. It said 1,000 years. Someone would say, wait, well, one and the same, Brother Pike. Not altogether. It's like rapture. We know that rapture means caught up. But see, the Word didn't say that. What then did the Word say, Brother Pike? It said we are changed. One and the same, Brother Pike. No, not exactly. What do you mean by that? Because the Word said we are changed from glory to glory. As we walk with God, we are changed from glory to glory, from one glory to another glory, from an inter-glory that's released from the kingdom of God within us, an inter-understanding and inspiration from glory to glory until we come to the ultimatum of God, which is Thessalonians change that we refer to as the rapture, or caught up. But folks, let me tell you something. Thessalonians change denotes what you call a rapture. Let me ask you something. If you ever went to high school, grammar school, did you ever have to do anything before you got your diploma? Or was you just caught up and they handed you a diploma? Somebody says, bless God, I've been born again, Brother Pike. I know I'm going to go in that rapture. Do you? Do you really? Someone would say, well, I know I've been born again. But folks, I'm wondering what happened from the time you entered school until the time you got your diploma. I'm wondering what's going to take place from the time that you say you're born again until the day that you grow into manhood. I'm wondering if there's anything in between your birth and you becoming a man or a grown woman. I'm wondering if there's any days, any time, any transition. I'm wondering if there's any changes, if there's any doings. Folks, let me tell you, don't be deceived. Don't just take the idea, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven, hallelujah. There's a whole lot to do. Someone would say, well, what do you think we ought to do, Brother Pike? The Bible said, let us go on. Let us go on. Go on to where? The Bible said, go on to perfection. Go on to be perfect. To be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Oh, now somebody says, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. There ain't nobody perfect. You didn't read that in the Bible either. Oh, nobody's perfect. I can prove it. I want you to do it the first thing after service. I want to talk to the first one that can do it. Nobody's perfect. The Bible said Job was a perfect man. You ever read it? Hallelujah. And the Bible said everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. Someone would say, Brother Pike, do you really believe there's perfect people in the world? I wonder if we got anybody in the audience that believes in perfect folks. Let's give it a test and see. The Bible said God has perfected forever. The word perfected means perfect, isn't that right? Well, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Have we got any sanctified folks? My, look at the perfect folks. See, that means there's some folks here that believe there are perfect people. Isn't that right? See, you agree with me. So then that means that we can be perfect. That means that God has done something for us, folks. I don't mean that we've got to go around being sanctified every day to get to heaven. I don't mean that. Though the Bible does say, sanctify yourselves daily. Yet that is the sanctification that God has given to us. The Bible said God has sanctified us once and for all. Not every day, but one time and forever. God has sanctified us by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the tree. Is that right? We are sanctified forever. I don't have to be sanctified yesterday and tomorrow. Today, trying to sanctify myself to get salvation. I sanctify myself daily. I do. But why do I do that? To bring my body under subjection. I have to get under a shower day by day. Or I have to take a bath in a tub day by day. Because if I don't do that, then I'm not clean. And when you get out in the world and you go out into the world, that body of yours that you're waiting to wit the redemption of, it gets dirty. And you have to come day by day and get under the shower of God and wash it so that it'll be in good shape. A man that's going to hold an office in the world, a man that's going to work on a job in the world, he's got to bathe that body. If he don't, he'll get such an odor they can't stay around him. They won't want to be around him. He's got to brush his teeth a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, when we're working for God, we've got to sanctify ourselves daily. We've got to get under the shower of God. We've got to pray. We've got to fast. We've got to live a holy, overcoming life. But when it comes to my salvation, it don't have nothing to do with my flesh. It don't have nothing to do with my body. Peter said it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh that saves a man. He says it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. This is the way I'm saved. God is a spirit. My inner man is a spirit. My faith in what Christ has done makes me a spiritual man. And by the washing of the word, of the water of regeneration, I change generations from Adam's generation. In that in Adam all die. I change from that generation and I change over to Christ's generation. See, because I've been sanctified once and for all, by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And I've been perfected forever because I was sanctified. And hold on there, folks, you might disagree with this. Not only have I been sanctified, the Bible said the faith by which I'm sanctified. Not only have I been sanctified once and for all by His body and by the faith which is in Him, not only have I been sanctified, but the Bible said it, God hath made perfect forever. God has perfected forever them that He sanctified. He made us perfect. Not only that, but the Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then I've been justified by faith of Christ. I've been sanctified. I've been perfected forever. Are you listening? And not only that, but I've been glorified. Don't leave me now. For the Bible said God also glorified them. Glorified them. You follow me? Someone would say, now look out, Brother Pike. You don't want to take God's glory, Brother Pike. No. Someone said His glory He will not give to another. I agree with that. But you see, I'm not another. He gave me His own glory. I didn't have to take it. He gave it to me. Oh, somebody said, now, Brother Pike, He gave it to me. I didn't have to take it. Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with Thee before the world ever was. Hallelujah. Father, make these one. Father, this is not another. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Hallelujah. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, glorified with the same glory. Hallelujah. Don't that make you feel good? Somebody said, well, Brother Pine, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm holding on. We're going to have a revival, and you're going to preach to us, and we're going to get revived, and then I'm going to hold on to the next revival. And then I'm going to hold on to the next revival. That's good. I'm glad. I'm happy. And somebody said, if I can do that, I believe I'll make it in. That's good. I'm happy. I'm glad. But I got a better plan. I got a better plan. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord Jesus? Say, how do you do that, Brother Pine? Well, the man said, go down to the street called Straight. Stay with me now. Talking about the Word. Said he'd preach God's Word. Talking about faith in the Word. Said, go down to the street called Straight. And he'll tell you what you need to do. What did he tell him? He got down to the street called Straight. Old Brother Paul, and the scales was falling from his eyes. He went down to the street called Straight. Very religious fella. Why, he'd done just about everything religious you could do. Gone down to the street called Straight. See, that's what's wrong with some folks. They live on Crooked Avenue. They need to move off of that and get on the street called Straight. Isn't that right? Paul was on Crooked Avenue and didn't even realize it. But he got off and he went down to the street called Straight. And he said, now you go down to the street called Straight. Folks, when you get with God's Word, that's straight. Jesus said, straight is this way. Narrow is this way. And he said, you try to get in at it. And you strive to get in at it. He said, because many are going to be religious. And many are going to try. And many are going to have a name that they live when they're just religious and they're dead. For the Bible said, he that liveth in trespasses and sin is dead while he lives. So he said, few there be that find this. Try to get in. Strive to enter into the straight gate. Go down the street called Straight. Why you want me to do that? For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go down to the street called Straight. When you get down the street called Straight, they'll tell you what to do down there. So he got down to the street called Straight, and what did they tell him? He said, be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Be baptized for the remission of sin in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. For there is remission in none other name. There is none other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved, and it must first be preached in Jerusalem. Have you ever been there? Preach there. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. See, call on the name of Jesus. Wash away your sins. For Peter said, it's not the putting away of the filth of your flesh. It's not when you stop chewing on the cud. It's not when you stop smoking. It's not when you stop dancing with your neighbor's wife. It's not when you leave off with ball games and worldly doings. That's not what does it. But it's the answer of a good conscience. And he spoke of Noah being saved. He said, and these eight being saved by water, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. But it does mean one thing, that if I get God in my heart, if I get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I get the conscience right, folks, I'll put away the filth of the flesh. Did you know that? Did you know that? When you get God's nature on the inside of you, you'll act like God. The Bible said, add to your experience faith. And it says, add to your experience godliness. Godliness. You'll start wanting to be like God. Isn't that right? When it speaks of the prophets, it said, in God's holy apostles and God's holy prophets. And the Bible said, let us go on, folks, to a full reward. You don't want a partial reward, do you? Let's go on to a full reward. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let us go on to a full reward. Someone said, bless God, I'll get just as much as the next, Brother Pike. Not unless you go on. Let us go on to a full reward. The Bible said, and these shall receive the greater damnation. And the Bible said, some has never known the depths of Satan. Then it speaks of a greater reward. A greater reward. There is a greater damnation. And there is a greater reward. Hallelujah. The Bible said, and there was 24 kings sitting around Jesus. They were kings. And the Bible said, God has made us priests and kings under our God, that we should reign forever and forever. And the Bible said, the kings is over 5 cities, and the kings is over 10 cities. And the Bible said, they'll come into that great, beautiful city, and they'll cast the crowns down at his feet. Kings, 24 kings. And the disciples said, and what will we get? Said, we left everything to follow you. He said, when I sit upon my throne, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm talking about a full reward, folks. I'm talking about there's something to get. There's the diplomacy in God like you've never dreamed of if you'll go on with God. You're just kind of playing around the edge of the water. Somebody said, well, all I got to do, Brother Pike, is just be born again. Let me tell you something. When a baby's born into the world, it's got to grow up. The Bible said, grow in the grace. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Do you think that you're going to run around in the world and make money and just play around in the world and do your thing in the world? And somebody else is going to give their entire life and sacrifice to God. And then when you stand before God, that you're going to receive the same reward. The Bible doesn't read like that. It doesn't read like that. It's according to your works. And the Bible said you'll be rewarded according to your works. Isn't that right? Some people won't ever bring any fruit to perfection. The Bible said they will get in. Some folks. But it's if by fire. And all of their works will be burned. That is, they'll just flounder around, mess around, not really fast, not really pray, not really study the Bible, not really know what to do, not really trying to live an overcoming life. And they'll just kind of flounder around. Are you listening? And when they get there, they've had so many ups and downs and so many in and outs that the chastisement of God has been so greatly upon them that they just barely got in themselves. Couldn't bring nobody else. Couldn't bring no fruit to perfection. They had their mind on money so much and on the world so much and the things of this world so much that they didn't have time to think on God. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, how often should we think of Jesus? How much time should we give to prayer? How often should we think upon spiritual things? Are you listening? The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, meditating in His laws day and night. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. We're talking about preaching the Word. He that God sends will speak the Word. If they'd have stood in my midst, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I can feel the Holy Ghost saying, amen, so be it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about faith. Faith in God. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost, folks. I'm talking about serving God. I mean really genuinely serving God. Getting down to business. You say, Brother Pike, do you mean that I can't work on a job? The Bible said a lazy man's no good for God. The Bible said he that won't provide for his family has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So there ain't no lazy children in God's house. There ain't no lazy folks there. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? You can work on your job. You can be what you ought to humanity. Somebody says, well, if I do that, I just don't have time to do what you're talking about, Brother Pike. Well, let's talk about Daniel. I'm going to close in a few minutes, just exhorting you a little bit the first night of the revival. What about Daniel? He took care of his position, didn't he? He was fasting 21 days, still holding his position down in Babylon. Folks, this is Babylon. You might have a position out there. Old Brother Daniel's fasting 21 days, still holding his position down there in Babylon. Wasn't he? They didn't like him down there. And the Bible said the world loves its own. If you do right, they ain't gonna like you either. But glory to God, you're going to win out every time. You're going to win out every time. It doesn't matter how they come. The Bible said they can come against you one way and God will make them flee before you seven ways. And if your ways please God, He'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. If He has to put them in the lion's den and put them in the fire like He did in the days of the Hebrew children and like He did in the days of Daniel. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what position you're in. If you stand up for God, God will take your part. When them folks begin to rise up against you, God will cut them asunder. So then, can we work? Sure we can work. Can we hold our position? Sure we can. Daniel's down by the river, fasting, talking to God, still with his workers, still with his fellers. And all of a sudden from heaven there came a shaking and something began to happen. And all of a sudden, these men around Daniel begin to tremble. Old Daniel was fasting. Hallelujah. He was in touch with the Spirit. And these men got nervous and they didn't know what to do. Something was taking place. And off they went. And old Daniel was still standing there. And glory to God, the wonderful glory of God came down over Daniel. And Daniel said, and I alone was left to see the vision. Hallelujah. All of them folks got out, man. Them devils went one way and another way. And Daniel was left there. Oh, hallelujah. And what he saw. Glory to God, what you can see when you stand up for Jesus. This is why Paul said, and ye know how that by revelation these things was made known unto me. Folks, the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. You say, I'm a Christian. That's great. But God wants you to have the spirit of revelation of His Word. Somebody said, but it's simple, Brother Pike. But the Bible says, great is the mystery of God. Great is the mystery of God. And I'm made a steward of the mystery. You know, Jesus one time, He was preaching and the disciples said to Him, said, why do you speak to these people in parables? Now tell me, folks, why did they say that? Said, why do you speak to these people in parables? So they don't understand what you're saying. How did they know that was a parable? You know why? Because they knew the mystery of what He was saying. You say, you can't prove it, Brother Pike. Jesus had told them something in secret He wasn't telling the others. He was speaking in parabolic form. And the Bible said, without a parable spake He not unto the people. In that God is a spirit, all things are parabolic. When God speaks to you, is that right? Like the old Indian sign language. How do you know that He was speaking to them in parables, Brother Pike, and telling them boys the mystery back there? Because He said, when they asked that, He said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries, but unto you is given. Come on, folks. Get in the inner circle. Get in the inner circle. Get in with God. Get in with the disciples. He set them people out yonder under the gospel to every creature. But he said it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But you that are God's disciples, you that are in that inner circle, he said, if you overcome, I'll give you to eat of the hidden manna. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, overcome? If your inner spiritual being, your inner man, can overcome this old body of lust, this old body of covetousness, this gullible desire of the flesh, then God will give to you to eat of that hidden manna, which is that revelation. What kind of revelation? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. Folks, let me tell you something. I preach for a number of years. I fasted, I prayed, I traveled across the nation. I traveled across the different parts of the world. I was honest, I was sincere. I tried to live a clean, upright life. But I did not know there was any such thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. I did not know there was any such thing. I don't mean I was a half-hearted Bible scholar. I read the Bible through, and I read it through, and I read it through. I went through the Bible, and through the Bible, and through the Bible, and through the Bible. And I took the New Testament, and I went through, and through, and through, and through, and through, and through. And then I took it, and I got down on my knees, and I took the New Testament, and I wouldn't get up till I read the entire 4 chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it right there on my knees. And I read the whole New Testament through on my knees because I wanted to know. I wanted to understand. I wanted to be sure. But did you know with all of that, I still didn't know there was such a thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. And just as God said to Paul, said, Paul, you know a whole lot. You're all lifted up. Paul, you think you know something when you don't know something as you ought to know. Brother Pike, you need to learn something. And he said, I want you to come away with me. And he said, I want to show you something. And folks, when he opened up the revelation of the Son of God, I said, my God, my God, my God. I said, God, can the church world be in this kind of condition? With all their fasting, with all their praying, with all their the things that they're doing. I said, is it possible? I said, God, surely I must be losing my mind. I said, I must be going crazy. But folks, let me tell you something. They said to Paul, said, Paul, too much learning has made you mad. He said, no, I'm not crazy. I found out I wasn't crazy. You know what? I found out that the church world hasn't been praying for the revelation of Jesus Christ or the spirit of revelation. I found out that God had something for us, but we're so intricate. Come on now, don't run off and leave me. Somebody said, bless God, I won't come back no more. Well, listen now. Just listen for just a minute. People are so interested in ball games, and people are so interested in the frolics of the world. And I don't know what they have in here in Louisiana. Over in Georgia, 6 flags. It might be 12 flags out here. I don't know. But they're so interested in going to the beaches and hunting and fishing and doing the things of leisure in the flesh and spending their time sitting around watching TV or reading some magazine or doing something in the world. They're so much in the flesh that God never has a chance to deal with them. Never has a chance to deal with them. The devil has got their mind so occupied with the gullible desire of the flesh that they cannot walk in the Spirit. The Bible said to walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desire of the flesh. See, how can we be spiritual? Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. We're going to have to come out of the world. Folks, if you belong to that world, you don't belong to this one I'm talking about. Amen. Somebody said, well, bless God, I love this world. I love this life. Well, all I've got to say is, I wished you didn't. Because you do, that means you don't have any eternal life. The Bible said, unless you hate your life for my sake, and unless you come out from among them and be a separate people, and touch not the unclean thing, he said, unless you do that, you can't be my disciple. Isn't that right? So then that means it's going to take forsaking self, overcoming self to eat of this hidden manna. It's going to take getting away from the world. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I can't get out of the world. The Bible said, though you're in the world, though you work in the world, yet you're not of the world. How can that be? I ain't going to get along here too far because I couldn't get through for the next week if I did. But through this revival, we're going to be making mention of some things. As we just kind of laid a little foundation tonight, we're going to be making mention of some things that you're really going to wonder about if you've never been into the revelation of the Son of God, you are really going to get stirred up and you're going to wonder about some things, folks. So then, what must I do? I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Isn't that right? My inner man, where is it at? It's not in the world. It's not in the world. And I'm going to say this, and this will probably leave you hanging tonight. And maybe you'll come back tomorrow night. But the Bible said you're not of this world. You're not of this world. If you was of this world, the world would love you because the world loveth its own. But you're not of this world. If you're not of this world, then what does he say about it? He said, ye are not of this world because I have chosen you out of this world. Come on, folks. You say, Brother Pike, what in the name of reasoning are you talking about? If I'm not in this world, then I must be crazy. If I'm not in this world, where am I at? There couldn't be but one place that you could be. Is that right? If you are a Christian, if you're not in this world, then where are you at? And if I say this tonight, I might lose part of my audience, and I might not. You might come back to make sure that you're sure that I don't know what I'm talking about, to hear the last part. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not in this world, and we're talking about the rapture, we're talking about the translation, we're talking about some things here that'll take a lot of words to explain. It'll take some preaching to bring it out, to detail it, to where you can understand it, to know where it's false or true. But if you're not in this world, you can't be in but one place, and that's in heaven. That's in heaven. Come on, folks. That's in heaven. Oh, somebody said, my God. Brother Pike, do you mean that in this world we are in heaven? Well, that isn't exactly what I'm talking about, and maybe tomorrow night I'll explain what I am talking about. But I will say this. There's a first heaven, and there's a second heaven, and there's a third heaven. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible said Paul was caught up to the third. So there must have been a first and a second for him to get to the third. Are you listening? You say, well, this couldn't be heaven. Well, I say it like this a lot of times. You wait till you get to hell. And then you look back at this world and you'll know that you was in heaven. You can tell the difference then. Where you can get a shot when you have a pain, and you can get a doctor when you have a misery, and you can get consolation, or you can get water when you get thirsty, and you can get food when you get hungry. Folks, you better believe that's doing all right. There's a better place, but you better believe that's doing all right. And if you don't believe that's heaven, you wait till you get to hell. And you can't even get a drop of water. And you'll say, my God, I was in heaven and didn't know it. I ain't going to try to explain that tonight. But maybe before the revival's over, I will. Can you stand with me? So then by revelation, this was made known unto me. Whatever we've talked about tonight, this was made known unto me. Folks, there's some things that's far greater, far deeper, far, far more to marvel at. Let this go along with what I've said tonight. Jesus talked to Nicodemus. He was a ruler. He was a leader. Nicodemus, Jesus said to him, said, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. He said, if you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Nicodemus, if I talk to you about earthly things and you don't understand, he said, how are you going to understand if I tell you about heavenly things? Now listen, folks. He, Jesus, flesh and bone, standing on this earth, he looked right at Nicodemus and he said, Nicodemus, he said, no man has ever ascended into heaven. You hear that? No man has ever ascended into heaven. Oh, somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Moses went. Elijah went. Enoch went. And he said, and no man has ascended into heaven. A lot to be said about that. No man has ever ascended into heaven, said, except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. Now, we can accept that. But when he looked at Nicodemus and he said, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Nicodemus standing there looking at him. Nicodemus looking at him, a man. A man saying, hey, now, wait a minute, I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. Flesh and blood, flesh and bones. Standing there on the earth, saying to a man, I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. Somebody said, he's eccentric. He's lost his mind. He's gone off his rockers. Yeah, that was Jesus, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. But remember, and don't forget, few there be that's going to find it. The translation is at hand. The catching away of the saints is at hand. The coming of the Lord Jesus is at hand. And let me tell you this from my heart. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying something that I think. I've not got a hold of a wild notion. I've not followed somebody's doctrine. My hand be raised to God. I hope I drop dead before I step off of this platform tonight. I hope I do, if this isn't the truth. But folks, it's been made known to me. I have come to understand it. He made me to know it from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, he made me to know it thoroughly. He made me to know why I'm here. And he made me to know when the translation is going to take place. He made me to know how the translation is going to take place. And he made me to know who was going in the translation. And remember what I'm telling you tonight. It don't mean Baptist and Methodist and Church of God and Presbyterian and Assembly of God and UPC and Catholic. It don't mean the Christian Church. And it don't mean the Jehovah Witness. It don't mean the Presbyterians. And it don't mean the Mormons. And it don't mean any non-denominational powers. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. That was the ones that was going. But the elect. They were first called Christians at Antioch. People who follow me are not Pikeites. If they're Christians. People who follow Oral Roberts are not Robertites if they are Christians. And people who follow Brother Swaggard are not Swaggerites if they're Christians. They are Christians. They are Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch. If you believe in the Word and you've been saved by faith, then, beloved friend, you are a Christian. You are not anything else. You are not Church of God. You're not Assembly of God. You're not Pentecostal Holiness. You're not UPC. You're not Catholic. You are a Christian. You are a Christian. They called them Christians because they were like Christ. They were like Christ. So they called them Christians. And when you're like Christ, you are a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, then that means you haven't been born again. You may be a believer. You may belong to a church. You may come to this tent meeting. You may go to other tent meetings. You may watch people on TV. You may read your Bible. You may fast. You may pray. But it doesn't mean that you are God's. Think this over. With some closing remarks tonight, think this over. Though you may be a believer, that doesn't mean you are a Christian. The Bible says there's but one Spirit. One Spirit. One faith, one God, one baptism. One Spirit. One Spirit, not two spirits. Somebody says, well, I got this Spirit, Brother Pike, and I'm a believer. And if I get the other Spirit, then I'll be a Christian. No. One Spirit. And Jesus said, that's my Spirit. Christ is Spirit. And he said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. You're none of mine. If you have not my Spirit. Somebody said, but I believe. I've cried. I've done like Esau. Sought repentance with bitter tears. But the Bible said he didn't find any. Because the gifts of God don't come that way. I wish we had time to preach to you. But folks, let me tell you. There is but one Spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit. The King James Version gives it as the Holy Ghost. Because as the Holy Spirit, it doesn't have any form as to our human concept. But when he comes into Jesus, we see the fullness of God. For God giveth not the Spirit unto him by measure. We see God tabernacling in a human body. And as to conformity, we understand. We understand that the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. For if it's put into a human body, we can comprehend that it's called a ghost. There never was but one ghost that was holy. That was Christ's Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, oh, somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You can be a Christian and not have the Holy Ghost, or you can go on and be a good Christian and have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, there's one ghost that's holy. That's Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He said, if you have not my Spirit, you are none of mine. It doesn't matter how much you believe, how many churches you've joined, doesn't matter what you think about it. The Bible said he will preach or speak God's word, to let God's word be true and every man be a liar. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you haven't got it, because that's his Spirit. And if you don't have his Spirit, then you don't have it. Listen to this just before we give an altar call. Having met certain disciples at the upper coast of Ephesus, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That is, Paul asked that question. While they said, we've not so much as heard whether we're a Holy Ghost or not. He said, well, under what baptism was you baptized? They said, under John's. Paul rebaptized them, and the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. See, they were John's disciples. They were believers, but they needed the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? They needed the Holy Ghost, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what you need tonight. Folks, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have his Spirit. You don't have his Spirit. And if you don't have his Spirit, you're none of his. That means you don't have eternal life. What is eternal life? It's Spirit. It's Spirit. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. It's Spirit. So then tonight, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, then you need to be born again. A believer, but not faith. Faith, by the hearing of the Word. Last days, many shall depart from it. That is, from the Word. Have their own ideas about religion. Do you love the Lord? Do you love Jesus tonight? While we're singing this little chorus, I want you to come to the altar tonight. Let's sing this little chorus. Can you come tonight? Can you lift your hands up tonight? Come on, folks. Come on, folks. That day is close at hand. That day is close at hand. I don't have to tell you that. I listened this evening as I was coming over on the plane. I listened. And they were telling about a plane that had been hijacked. People had been shot. You know, Mr. Reagan said to Mr. Gaddafi, if you do that again, I'll blow you off of the map. Things is getting close, folks. How you think it over? The last time they had their little bombing and they had their fight, some explosions got too close to the great city of Rome. The Bible said in her desolation came in 1 hour. 1 hour. Just across the Mediterranean Sea. Think about it. Mr. Gaddafi's over here. And just over here a little ways is the great city the Bible spoke of. For her desolation would come in 1 hour. Just 1 hour. Think about it. If they start throwing bombs over there, anything can happen. If they start throwing bombs over there, anything can happen. They're getting mighty close to that city. A test was run just before the bombing before. And the results of the test was, said its consummation requires exactly 1 hour. Said her desolation came in 1 hour. It's getting close. And I'll cherish
That old rugged cross, till my trophy is at last I lay down. Sing it with me. And I'll cling to the old rugged cross. I'll exchange it someday for a crown.
Lift your hands up with me now. Come on, folks. You that haven't come to the altar, you love the Lord. Come on up to the altar. Why don't we all come? Why don't we all come? Wouldn't it be wonderful? You love the Lord. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. They are coming. Jesus loves you. Can that faith work by love tonight? Can you believe in His love so much that your faith will just reach out and take the answer out of His hand? Can you just love Him so much? Can you believe in His love so much that your faith can reach up and take the answer out of His hand tonight? Can you do that? Can you just lift your hands up? Tell Him that you love Him tonight. Can you do that? Jesus loves you tonight. Hallelujah. Don't you feel that wonderful presence of God? Don't you feel that wonderful presence of God tonight? Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad God's in Louisiana? Hallelujah. Ain't you glad you don't have to move to Georgia to have God? Bet you can have Him in Louisiana. Hallelujah. I see Brother Lynn here. He just come back from California and he found Him out there too. Found Him out there too. Praise God. The Bible said two or three gathered together in My name, I'll be in the midst of them. Are you hearing His name tonight? Said they that are called by My name, if they'll repent of their sins, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their lands. Isn't that right? Praise God. Praise God. You know, just before I came up here tonight, I don't know who he is. I ain't never seen him. But I heard somebody up here that they called the sheriff. And he was giving a testimony that I sure did like. Not too long ago, I was talking to a judge. And me and that judge, we had a good talk. And him and I saw eye to eye. He felt like the folks ought to straighten up, and I did too. And you know, we've talked to senators and prayed. We prayed for people like senators, great leaders of the nation, great officials. Prayed for them right out on the street. Just stop right there and pray for them. You know, and God has blessed us to reach great men that are in the office, to have at least in some way contacts, as with the president, as with the senator, or the senators, as with the governor. You know, a phenomenal thing just took place. God showed me a vision. And in this vision, there was a great drought. And the drought hit and it was horrible. And I saw a horrible situation. And I told the people, I said, this is going to strike. And sure enough, it did strike. It struck over in the foreign countries. And it was so bad, many people died. And I said, folks, it isn't just going to be over there. It's going to come to America. And here a few months ago, or a few weeks back, that thing struck. And I'd never seen the trees die from lack of water. But there was millions of dollars, even into the billions of dollars, of damage done, crops lost. And I saw the trees dying. The grass was dying. And the governor of Georgia, he got tore up. And they published a piece in the paper. And he said, somebody pray for rain. Folks, pray for rain. And God spoke to me and told me what to do. And I wrote him a letter. And I said, Governor Joe Frank Harris, I said, the Lord showed me this drought before it come. They had put a ban on water in Monroe. Never had before. As long as Atlanta, Georgia had been there, they'd never had a ban on water. But they banded the water. Things was bad. Just a matter of days. I said, to the governor. I said, the Lord said that I am a jealous God. I said, he told me what he wanted you to do. And I said, if you do this, he said he'd take care of the water. I said, it stands to reason that if he showed me the vision of the drought, and I spoke of it and it come, it stands to reason if I say, God, I want water, he's going to give it to me. So I said, I'm writing you this letter, and it depends on your attitude toward it, how you receive it. And I said, if you receive it, I'm going to ask him to send the water, or he's going to send the water. So I told him, I said, God is a jealous God. I said, in you politicians and different people, the world as a whole, I said, you're placing too much emphasis on the economics of life and on recreation and on the many things of sports and the different things that we brought out. And I said, God is jealous. I said, and God is upset over it. I said, and this is one of the things that's causing the problems, and we enumerated different things. I said, now if you're willing to do something about it, I said, he'll send the water. He wrote me back. His heart was very humble. He said to me, he said, I believe in prayer. He accepted my letter beautifully. Told me, said, I pray every day for God's guidance in my life. When the letter came back, he expressed himself, told me how he felt about it. I went to God. I said, God, you heard the letter. You heard the letter. I said, I want you to turn on the water. And I said, I want you to keep that water coming till everything is all right. Folks, I had a crusade coming up in Mississippi. When I got the letter, God turned on the water. I went and had my crusade. It was raining when I left. When I got back, it was still raining. When I left to come over here to have this crusade, it was still raining, and they said it was going to still rain. And days ago, they said the drought was over and the water tables was coming back up, but it was still raining. Can you give the Lord a hand? Hallelujah. And the Bible said God rules in the affairs of mankind. Isn't that right? God has his way in the good and in the evil. And I'll tell you right now, when people testify like that sheriff did, that was up here, whoever he is and wherever he is, when they testify like that, and when the political powers and when our government, when our law and the different ones begin to acknowledge him and praise him, we're going to have a good time, folks. Give him another hand. Hallelujah. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. I see Brother Jim here. Brother Jim was a wrestler. He was a... You know, we've had some wrestlers converted, some boxers, different ones in our ministry. And Jim was converted under someone's ministry. I don't know just who. But he was converted to God. A wrestler was the assassin, one of the assassins. And God got a hold of his heart, and he's standing here with us tonight. Glad to have you here, Jim. Appreciate you leaving your business long enough to come be with us. Let's give the Lord another hand. God saves wrestlers, governors, presidents, policemen, sheriffs. While sitting in the airport today over in Atlanta, Georgia, I was sitting there, and four young fellas came by. And as they walked by, I didn't see them walk by to start with, but they apparently did. Brother Kleinex was with me. They walked by, and the next thing I know, they'd turn around and come back. I'd sit down over here with my wife. Got a wonderful wife, a real lady. And I was sitting there, and they come up to me, and they didn't act like they didn't hardly know what to say. And they said, ain't you, are you, or, and they just kind of, you know, fumbled around like that. And finally, they got out enough to where I could put it together. And I said, yes. And he said, I recognized you from your picture in the publications. And he introduced himself, and it was four rock singers. And they was telling me that God had a hold of some of our literature, and God was dealing with them, and somehow or another, God had gotten a hold of their hearts somewhere down the line, and they were converting over to Christ. They were converted over. And folks, they were so happy. when we got to talking about Jesus, well, they just lost their composure. They were standing there in that place and they were saying, "Praise God. Praise God." I was talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. They said, "Well, let's get it. We want it now." Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Hallelujah. They were on their way to Pennsylvania. They had a show coming up there, and they were on their way to Pennsylvania just passing through. But you know, we need to love the Lord. Don't we need to love the Lord? Let's lift our hands and love the Lord tonight, can you? Folks, I want you to come out to this meeting. I want you to tell somebody about it. I want you to invite them to come. The Bible said, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled, saith the Lord." And I want you to go out there and tell them that we're over here talking about Jesus. And that for numbers of nights, we're going to be talking about Jesus here. And we're going to be talking to Jesus during the daytime. And we're going to be talking to Jesus during the night. And we're going to be calling on the name of Jesus for you. How do you know that God loves you? The other night, somebody called me up. And they said, "Brother Pike," said, "I got a problem." I said, "What is it?" They said, "My dad's fixing to undergo an operation." Said, "He's in California." We were, of course, in Georgia. And he said, "I want to know what's going to happen." Well, sometimes the Lord will speak to you right off. You know, Paul said the Spirit speaketh expressly. Sometimes he don't. Sometimes you have to pray. But while I was talking to him, the Lord spoke to me. And I said, "Well, what is he going to do?" He said he was going to have a triple bypass. Cut the leaders. All these valves loose in the heart, or from the heart. Whereas he had four of them cut loose instead of three. But he said three. And just immediately the Lord spoke to me. I said, "Call him, tell him he's going to be all right. He'll go through the operation, won't be no problem. He'll be all right. He'll come through it real good, and everything will be fine." And boy, I tell you, he got on the top of the mountain. He said, "I'll call him right away." So he called him, and he told him what we said. And sure enough, they had the operation, cut four of them instead of three, and he come through it beautifully, come out of it beautifully, and everything was just fine. Now, but I told the brother, I said, "Now remember," I said, "after he has his operation, and he's going to come out real good," I said, "but later on," I said, "Satan is going to strike at him." And I said, "Now when he strikes at him, you call him. You tell him immediately." I said, "Don't tell him before." I said, "I'm just telling you." I said, "But you call him and you tell him to take courage. Everything will be all right if he'll take courage. But he's going to have to take courage." I said, "Because Satan is going to strike at him." So sure enough, he called me tonight just before I come to the meeting. And though his dad has been all right for a day or two, having come out from under the operation, he called, said, "Still doing fine." Said, "No problem with his heart. Everything's just fine." But said, "Brother Pike, what you said was coming to pass. That it come to pass. That pneumonia has struck him." And said, "He needs help." I told him, I said, "Well, remember him in prayer." I said, "Tell him what I told you. Call him and tell him and give him courage now. Because that's dangerous. Real dangerous. The fluid's building up. See, and the man's about, I don't know how old. He's up in age. You need Jesus, folks. You need Jesus. If you don't have the Lord with you tonight, you need to get him. If you've never made that great commitment unto God, you need to make it. Let's lift our hands up, can we? When you go away from here tonight, I want you to go away with a blessing. I'm one of them fellows that believe in what God says. God said to the minister, said he's got the power to bless you. He's got the power to curse you. Judgment begins at the house of God. Whosoever sins is remitted shall be remitted. Jesus said, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whosoever you bless will be blessed. Whoever cursed will be cursed. Jesus said so. Jesus said so. Said he's the minister of God. He hath the right to do that. Seeing that he's the minister of God, the Bible said, "Will you then not be afraid for conscience' sake? Since he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil." But he's not a terror to the righteous. He's sent there to bless you if you want to accept the Lord. Isn't that good? Jesus loves you. He wants to bless you tonight. He don't want to curse you. He wants to bless you. Let's lift our hands up and let him bless us tonight. I'm going to pray for the sick during this meeting. I'll be laying hands on the sick just like we did in the last tent meeting. But tonight, usually in my meetings the first night or two, I just try to pray over them just like we are here. But folks, many times in preaching and praying, things, miraculous things has taken place. We had a girl that comes to my mind tonight. She was standing in the audience. I was preaching on Elijah, the God of Elijah. And all of a sudden she coughed. She was a young woman, just got out of college. And she coughed, and when she did, a plastic leaf come out in her hand, like that. And she said later that so much air went down into her lungs it scared her. And her dad said for 12 years this had been in here. All through her school life it had been in here. And she'd had trouble breathing. Said she had swallowed it and the x-rays wouldn't pick it up. But in preaching on the God of Elijah and challenging faith, after 12 long years, she spit it up. And she's been a happy girl. You love the Lord? See, faith. It was her faith in God. It's your faith. Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Isn't that right? Peter said, "In this man's faith hath made him whole." Or the faith which is by him, even Jesus Christ. Or the man. Let's lift our hands up. And I'm going to pray with you tonight. And I want you to believe with me tonight. Folks, let me say this one more time. When you get a sheriff like I heard tonight, or you get a mayor, or you get a policeman, or whatever you get, a governor, for God's sake, don't let him get out of office. Whatever you do, see to it that he stays there. If he's going to love God and give the glory to God, then that's what you need. That's what you need. That's what we need, folks. We'll get rid of all of this dope, and our children won't be thrown into jail. They don't want to put them in jail. They ain't got no place for them anyway. And we all work together, and I'll tell you, we'll whip the devil. How do you believe that? We'll whip the devil. Hallelujah. He won't steal your health and your children. Hallelujah. I know you believe. I can tell you believe. There's some believers here tonight. While you've got your hands lifted up, I'm going to pray with you tonight. I'm going to pray with you. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask you to look down out of heaven. Father, I feel the charge of your glory. Father, like the vision I saw the other night when you showed me your glory. I feel the charge of your glory tonight. I feel the quickening spirit, that raised up Christ from the dead. And dear God, tonight I ask you to move in the midst of these people. And Father, as these people believe tonight, I ask you to stretch out a healing hand tonight. And I want you to heal these people. God, I want you to heal these people. Father's faith goes up tonight. I want healing to come into these hearts. And I want you to break the yoke tonight, Father. God, may they be healed tonight. May they receive the blessings of God tonight. May the Spirit of God be in their heart tonight. And oh God, with their children, Father, to bless them physically, spiritually, and financially tonight. Dear God, may they have health like they've never had health before. May they have a joy like they've never had a joy before. May the Spirit of your great goodness sweep over this audience. And dear God, may it go out from this tent tonight, Father, through testimony and by your power, oh God, to sweep over this nation, Father. And through the state, God, this great mighty state of these people. Oh God, that healing and salvation, God, and great revival and mighty understanding from God be upon these people. The great grace that you spoke of back at Pentecost. May it be here tonight. I want you to heal these people. I want you to love these people. I want you to bless these people. Oh God, and give them the desires of their heart. I want you to do it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?